So we were talking about the differences between Melech Yisrael and Melech Beit David. We're in Aleph Yud, in Melachim. So the next difference of it is, what oil do you use? So, Ein Moshchen Malcha Yisrael B'Shemen HaMishcha Ela B'Shemen HaFarsema. So when you anoint the Melech Yisrael, unlike Melech Yisrael, the Melech Beit David, you don't use the actual Shemen HaMishcha, you use Afarsimon oil, whatever exactly that is. I mean, Afarsimon is like a persimmon, but I mean, I don't know exactly what that is, but not the olive oil. Yeah, probably. Ve'ein memanin oto b'Yerushalayim le'olam, elo melech Yerushalayim Yizera David. Ve'en moshchin bo elo Zera David. And only Melech Beit David can be anointed in Yerushalayim. Why? So good. So even if you just knew Tanakh, tell me why this would be true.
Well, David conquered Yerushalayim. Well, I would think because this isn't the halakha. This is just what happened because the kingdom of Judah.
Good. So you would just say, well, practically, but right. It's actually more than that. Because if you think of what's happening in Tanakh, why is it that they always control Yerushalayim?
Because of the sense of David must always be.
Yeah, because God said so, right? God said that their malchut is—it's a fundamental thing, right? It's a fundamental thing that they are, fundamentally connected to Yerushalayim. Right? It's not just b'mikra. It's not just b'mikra. Now, where do these halachot come from? So the first one is from Huriot Daf Yud Aleph Amud Bet. Which says Ein Moshchen Malchei Yisrael B'Shem HaMishcha. Why and how do you know? So the Gemara there quotes a pasuk, which is Amar Rava Amar Kra Kum Mashcheu Ki Zehu. Now, what is the simple pshat of that pasuk? Shmuel didn't know who to anoint, and God said him. Why did he not know? Because Shmuel was biased towards tall people, good-looking people, whatever. Remember? And he didn't believe it'd be David, and then he goes through all of Yishai's sons. He's tall, he's this, that. And finally God says, no, him. Now, Rava reads it not that way, which is not him as opposed to the other sons of David, but Zeton Mashiach. Only David and the Davidic kingdom need Mashiach. Vein Acher Ton Mashiach. Now, nobody else needs Mashiach. It's now allowed to have Mashiach with the Shemen HaMishcha. The parallel sugya is in the first parak of Kritor and Daf Hei. Now, what's the logic?
That only the sentence of David.
Right now, I will just one more point is the Gemara says this might not be by Shaul. Right, because Shaul had no Melech Beit David before him. Right, Akasher Shaul Nimshach Al Vishloisha Machloket. Right, so actually, we're going to see the next halacha is that Shaul is also. We're going to see that we. You know what? You know, let's read the next two halachas. Let's read these three halachas and do them together. So, and then we'll come back. Second was Kishem Moshchan Melech Beit David in Moshchan Elamayan. That when you anoint the Melech Beit David, you do it by a spring. And the third is Ve'ein Moshchen Melech Ben Melech Elam Ganahayda Sham Machloket O Milchama. And you don't anoint the king, the son of a king, unless there's a machloket. U'Moshchen Oto Gedil Asalak HaMachloket. And then you do Mashiach in order to clarify who's king. The Fichach Mashchu Shlomo Mibnei Machloket Adoniya V'Yosh Mibnei Atalya. And that's why when Shlomo's right to be king was challenged by Adoniyahu, so they anointed Shlomo even though he's Ben David. Yoash was challenged by the queen mother who killed everybody, Atalia. It's like when I was learning this with Meir, he's like, when we got to the halacha of, wait, how can you say a woman can't be the monarch? What about Atalia? I'm like, it also says you can't kill, and she killed all the kids. I don't know what you want. She wasn't exactly righteous person. She was murderous. Umashko Yoyachaz mibnei Yoachim achiv, and Yoachaz because of Yoachim. Okay, so let's go through this. Yeah. So first of all, why is a Melech only a mate David, Melech Beit David, anointed? What does that? What does that show?
It shows that the essential. occupant of the kingly role is a descendant of David.
Right. So at a very basic level, it shows that only the real king is Melech
David. Ben David.
Right. There's a more formal way of saying this, which is the following. So many of the Acharonim, but I think I first heard it from Rosh Lichtenstein summarizing, though it appears in the Mishnah Melech, in the Tzedek Lederech, which is that there might be two purposes to Mashiach. One is, I'll read it as he says it, Minui HaShalit Yisod Samchuto. One is giving political authority. The other is Hachalat Kedushalav. Just like we have by Kohen Gadol, just like we have Shem and Mishcha by the Kalim and the Beit HaMikdash, Mishicha gives you Kedusha. And he argues that this is the difference between Malchut Beit David and the Malchut of an other Melachim. Malchut Beit David is both a Melach Yisrael and a Melach Beit David have a role, as we saw, it's recognized as an oral power. However, Melech Beit David is more than that. It's a chalos, he's kadosh. There's, right, the line, right? The Davidic line is sacrosanct, right? It can't, even when they don't deserve it, at some level it has to be kept alive. And there's implications of it. So for example, what's another proof that there's a kiddusha to the Melech Beit David? So Gemara says that only a Melech Beit David is allowed ein yeshiva ba'azar al-Melech Beit David bilvad. That you can't sit in the Azara of the Beit HaMikdash unless you're Melech Beit David. Which shows that even in the realm of the Beit HaMikdash, the Melech has a unique status. So several of these are learned from different, right, from, I read one of the drashot, but the main sugya is a series of drashot in Yod Aleph Yod Bet and Huriot and Krito Dafe. Right, a series of different drasha. Now, Ramosha argues that this yesod is also what explains, now that we're finishing the first perek, this whole perek, right? Was that the Rambam said, remember, remember, we already said this earlier. Right? We said this earlier in the perek. And then we repeat it, right? Why is he repeating this over and over again, right? And the Kevin Shenimzach Zocha Beketer Malchut Lo Levanav Akshirim Ad Olam, right? Why are we repeating this to tell it twice? So Moshe argues that, well, there's two things going on. That the first time we said it, we were talking about his politics, right? Right, so he says, "Atshuvah shezanu utza biikaron shugvashleil." Chelka rishon shalacha, the first half of the halacha, osek betalich bechirat melech kibal misrael misharet et sorchei haadam. Right, the first part of the halacha, if you went back, was simply the political power, and that's why he compared it to kol minuyin shel biyisrael. That was in halacha zayin. The second, he says, and once you get the malchut, it goes to your children and the like, because right, there's two parts here. Right, but there's two. There's king as any other leader, and there's king as king. Remember the Rambam said that certain of these halachot are true of any leader and certain are not.
Right.
Like right. So he says, right, what you see is the Rambam is talking about a king at two levels. There's king as king and there's king as leader. Right. So he argues that that's what's going on here. Is that the reason only Melech Beit David needs Shem and Amishcha and everyone else gets Shem and Afarzimon is because everyone needs some sort of technical status of being a leader. But the unique status, that comes from the oil that's used from Kadesh, the Beit HaMikdash, right, the Mishkan, the Kalim. Right? Only the Melech Beit David has that extra chalos, right, that extra kedusha, and has that. Now, Shaul, even though there's no fight about him, and he's not a Melech Beit David, obviously he was the first king, that's why he gets anointed. Now let's quickly go through the other halacha. What?
He was largely illegitimate.
Yeah, basically. That's, I don't know what happened with him. But Yeah, I mean, Ishbosheth was, you know, and yes, you're right. Rabinovich has a long discussion of exactly what a farsimon is, and surprise, what all the different oils, yeah, and all the different mix, the mixtures here. Now, why in Yerushalayim? So Rabinovich just pointed, the Pasuk says, but he said you want a good proof. He said the Radak says that when the Pasuk says, Kinicham Hashem Tzion, right, is in the context of Malchut, he says, yeah, the Radak writes, Zecher Tzion ki Ikra Malchut. Yehuda, Yerushalayim is the Ikra Malchut. And again, when you leave the Malchut to Beit David, what do you leave them? You leave them Yerushalayim, it's which is the cause and which is the effect. You said, oh, well, it's practical. No, no, we left him Yerushalayim because Malchut Beit David is there. And what Pasuk says that? Because God says, why did I give him Yerushalayim? We live no etain shevet echad lemane yot near le David of the koyim lefanai biyushalayim ha'ir asher chardi balishim shemo sham. That's what God says. And we have all types of psukim that you could point to that this is true. Okay, that's point one. Point two is that we do it by ma'ayan. Why by the ma'ayan?
What's that, a spring?
A spring, yeah. So the Gemara quotes that, proves it from who was made king by a spring. Shlomo. Right? Take Shlomo to the spring. So we learn it from Shlomo, and the Gemara says, why? Ein moshkin malachim el alamayan, kidei shetimashech malchutan, is a symbol that they should... That what? Their malchut should last.
Springs last.
Well, that's actually from Bavli. This is in the Bavli, right? I think it's there.
Say this halakha.
I think so. Yeah.
I wonder why he puts you on. I can see.
Now, the interesting thing here is that the Gemara derives a very important conclusion from this, which is Simana Miltehi. That symbols are important. And because of that, what is this the source for? In the Gemara, not, this is not like some Achron. This halacha is the source for what? No, not the red string, but eating all the special foods on Rosh Hashanah. Like eating carrots and dates and all that stuff on Rosh Hashanah. Gemara says, because hashta amar simana miltehi, that's why we all these symbolic foods in Rosh Hashanah, because we learn from this that symbolism is important. So now, very quickly, what does that mean? Is it like magic? So, this is a big machloket. So one possibility is, yes, it's magic. The other extreme is... It's just
memorialism.
It's like to get you to think, Havana, have tefillah, stuff like that, right? It's Simana Milta is a psychological point that we anchor our ideas to physical objects sometimes to get us, you know, in the mood. There is like a middle position based on the Ramban, the Chayadam that points to, which is that the Ramban has this metaphysical idea that the beginning of something, you can set in motion a certain metaphysical path, right? The Ramban just has this idea, right? That's why that which the Avot did, Masa Avot Sim Labanim, that it you can sort of affect, especially the beginnings. And that's why, based on this Ramban, Chayadim and other Acharonim say, yeah, that's why in the beginning of the year, the beginning of a Malchut, that's when Simanim are important. So it is some sort of metaphysical, metaphysical power. Yes.
We mentioned King Solomon. this is tangential.
Yeah.
Not only should the king be appointed from the house of David,
yeah,
should he also descend of the previous king, like King Solomon, let's say? Like, as in...
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. So, someone could be a king, and it's totally ideal if they're from Nathan.
But it always really did happen that way, that it came from the... I'm trying to think if there's any exceptions. I mean, there are some where brothers inherit it, but it's never, like, another...
One time it's an uncle.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but it's always but the uncle is going to be the son of the one of the previous kings, right? Yeah. But after that, I don't know. Meaning, but after that, I don't know which kid, you know.
Right.
But
not that he's necessarily the son of the Right.
Okay.
That's my
question. Okay. Yeah, no, that's. I know what he was asking. Okay. Now the.
It's Jeremiah.
Yeah. Now the third thing, right, is the. So the third thing, which Rabinovich points out, is that look, normally Mashiach could have been done in private. Like we saw by Shaul and we saw by David. But he says that when it comes to the cases of Machloket, the Rambam writes in Hilchot Klei HaMikdash that it's Kedei Lefarsem, Kedei Lehodia Lakol. Right? Kedei Lehodia Lakol. What's the Svara? Right, he says it's very obvious, right? This is the Rambam in the parallel halacha in Klei HaMikdash. By the way, that's another proof that the Melech has a chalos. What's the proof? That it's quoted here and it's quoted in Klei HaMikdash. Right, but the Rambam there says that when there's a fight, you do it in public. Why? What's the Svara? It's obvious.
To show that no disputes can.
Yes, exactly, right? There was a machloka. That's why you were doing this. Now, as I think I mentioned this earlier, why when there's a fight do you re-give him?
I mean, it's a show.
Good. So this is a machloket Rashi's. Rashi in Horiot says because it's not a real Mashiach. It's just you do real Mashiach. He is the king, but you do the Mashiach just for what?
To show that. No. Don't mess with this guy.
To make it clear that he's the king. However, correct. It's not according to Rashi in Horiot. It's not. If you want me to read it, I'll just read it to you one second. All right? Rashi in Horiot says, one second. Ben Melech. Let's get it. So Rashi says, says Damrinan, right? So he says there, right? Just to deal with the fight. However, if you look at in Horiot, Rashi says as follows. That. Bizman Shalom be Israel heve malchut Yerusha velo boy Mashiach. If there's no fight, then you don't need Mashiach. Aval ki ikam machloket, when there's a machloket, love Yerushahi. It isn't inherited. Uboy Mashiach mitchila. So Rashi and Horiot argues, no. If there's a machloket, and this is what I mentioned, I think, earlier, that people use this Rashi to prove that consent of the governed is apparently essential. Because according to him, if there's a machloket, he actually ceases to be king. And needs fundamentally to be lucky. Reappointed, which is a yes, very lucky. Yes.
There isn't actually. There doesn't need to be consent of the government, right? Because
say it again.
This Mashiach is not dependent on the government or any sort of
government. What?
This second Mashiach is not contingent on any public approval. The public can still disapprove of him. And once you've done
it, I mean, yes and no, but so that's not actually clear. If you actually read the stories in Tanakh, right, by Rechavam, it's clear he actually loses his kingdom because of it. Now,
legally or
well, so that's a big question. What's going on in that story? Now, and that may be part of his machloket with the people, which is why he's not willing to bend. Now, many of the Mefarshim, though, ask, well, why is it you're allowed to use the Shemana Mishchaf for this purpose? Now, according to Rashi, it's not a problem, because legally he's not the king anymore. Right? So that's why it's not misusing the Shemana Mishchaf. But if you think
you're
it's...
not supposed to anoint someone who's not the king.
Correct. But if he's already the king, why would we do it again? Right? Why would you be allowed to do it again? He's already king, right? Just to quell machloket, you're allowed to do it.
Right.
So one possibility is no. The machloket meant he's not king, so you actually need to reanoint him as king. If you think it's just to quell machloket, then what you'll have to say is apparently you're allowed to waive it. L'tzarech rabim. Right? Is that according to l'tzarech rabim, you are allowed to waive it, right? And Rabinovich notes that second possibility, the simple
trust
that under certain circumstances, yeah, there are extenuating circumstances that allow you to use the Shemana Mishka. And that must be what's going on here. Okay, let's stop there. That's the end of the first paragraph.